This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Chandler Gould. Chandler is the CEO for the National Association of Wheat Growers, headquartered in Washington, D.C. We'll talk with Chandler in just a moment. First off, Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack on rural economies.
I hope as this committee begins its serious work of the Farm Bill that you'll take some time to work with us to take a look at how we might be able to do a better job of maintaining and creating wealth in rural communities and making sure that historically underserved populations and communities also get a fair amount of attention. And we at USDA are committed to working with you in partnership to use the resources that are available from Congress in a way that helps to create those kinds of opportunities.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Chandler Gould. Chandler is CEO of the National Association of Wheat Growers. Also, you can refer to him as NOG. That's one way that we do that. Hey, Chandler, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thank you very much, Tony. I always appreciate being on your show, and I really like knowing that it broadcasts back to my hometown in Dumas because my mom gets phone calls every now and then when I'm on your program. It makes her happy, too.
Well, speaking of happy, there is also a happy Texas, and I guess we could throw that in. Hard red winter wheat's grown around a good portion of the high plains and southern high plains. And as I look back at the charts here, we're really looking at some prices we haven't seen for 8 years or so. That's got to be encouraging for producers.
Most definitely. You know, we're very excited about the price that we're seeing right now in the wheat industry. You know, NOG did a survey a couple of years ago, and so across all six of the classes, and I know we're talking about hard red winter here in this price, but across all six classes, we found on average about 625 to 650 a bushel is where break even is. And so the prices that we're seeing right now are great. We know that our producers are receiving money from the marketplace, which is where they want to receive their benefits from. And then, you know, that comes from a lot of stuff. You know, I think the issues over between Russia and the Ukraine are helping to drive that up. We also saw an uptick in demand domestically. And of course, the strong reliance on that 50% of the wheat that we export to our major trading partners. So all in all, it's a very good day in the wheat industry today.
You mentioned some of the trading partners, and it makes me wonder when we start looking outside of our borders here, there are some challenges out there. One, is it India?
India is definitely one of our larger issues that we are combating on the international trade front right now. You know, we've already asked the House of Representatives and the U.S. Senate have sent two different letters. 28 members of the House sent a letter a year ago to Secretary of Agriculture at USDA and to USTR Ambassador Tai, requesting that we bring a WTO case against India. And then in December, Senator Bozeman from Arkansas, who's the ranking member on the Senate Ag Committee, sent a parallel letter both to Vilsack and Tai, requesting that we bring a WTO case against India because of their domestic supports that they're giving their own wheat and rice growers. And by our calculation, the U.S. wheat and rice industry are losing about $600 million a year in lost sales due to these non-compliant payments going to domestic growers in India.
When we talk about bringing a WTO case, especially when we're talking about wheat, this is not uncharted territory here. Actually, it was, a year and a half ago we saw something with China?
Exactly. Literally the exact same case. So you would think that we could maybe fast-track this, but, you know, nothing's ever fast-tracked when you bring in the WTO and other countries' governments. But the U.S. brought a case under the Trump administration against China for the exact same two commodities, for rice and for wheat, because China was subsidizing their producers beyond what the WTO limit would allow. And both countries, China and India, were not importing as much rice and wheat that under their WTO obligations. And so two fronts. One, the India case is very similar, so we already know, have a record that we should win there and a precedent. But the other concern is China has still not come in compliant with the case that they lost against the United States. So really, when you add those two together, we're talking billions of dollars of lost sales for U.S. wheat growers.
But we talk about the World Trade Organization, and we're really talking about an organization when it comes to dispute panel and the appeals process, that it's still broken. This, I guess, officially broke under the Trump administration with not having enough members to hear those appeals. Is there concern with just the general trading and rules at the WTO?
The WTO definitely needs some work, and you're exactly right. It basically became dysfunctional under the Trump administration because we kept it blocking all of the people nominated for the appellate body there. We continued to work and encourage the Biden administration to appoint people so the appellate system there can begin working, because just as you pointed out, even if they did bring a case against India, if India wins or loses, we know that it'll be appealed at least one time. And right now, that would be a dead standstill. And then also having the WTO not functioning properly due to a lack of people is keeping us from being able to enforce the ruling onto China. So it is really in the United States and the U.S. wheat growers' best interest, and all of agriculture's best interest, to get the WTO back up and running on its feet, so that it can continue to enforce these international regulations to make sure we have a level playing field.
I'm so glad you said a level playing field, because there's something that's done here in the U.S. by our Congress, and the idea is to make sure that farmers have the opportunity to do their work and to feed and clothe and fuel not only our nation, but those outside, through something known as the Farm Bill. You and I have been talking about the debate for the next Farm Bill for probably a couple of years now. Are we getting closer to that debate?
Well, I sure hope so. I mean, I know that wheat, and I was also speaking with corn and soy last week, the three largest commodities, and sorghum there with us, we all go to the Commodity Classic. That's where we're going to start setting our Farm Bill priorities. So I encourage all of the wheat growers in your listening area to please come to Commodity Classic that first week there in March in New Orleans. But this is a very critical point for the wheat growers, when we're going to set those priorities. And then it's really time for the House of Representatives and the House Ag Committee, the Senate Ag Committee, to start scheduling Farm Bill hearings, so we can start looking at what worked in the 2018 Farm Bill, what do we need to change, and what new authorities or changing of existing programs do we need to be looking at for 2023? Because the actual drafting of the legislation should start later this year, and for sure at the beginning of next year.
Well, and I'm glad you talked about Commodity Classic, because that is right around the corner, and it's an in-person event, at least still right now in New Orleans. And for wheat growers, what can they expect if a wheat producer or just a farmer in general has never been to Commodity Classic? What can they expect?
Well, first, I would encourage them to go to our website at wheatworld.org. You can find all of the information about the NOG Board of Directors meeting, our policy committee meetings that we'll be having there. We'll also be having our National Wheat Yield Contest reception, honoring our winners across all six classes there. And then, of course, we'll be having our PAC and President's reception. So, I mean, that's just the NOG functionalities there. Then we move into the trade show. We know that Secretary Vilsack will be there to address us. NASA is actually coming to the NOG Board of Directors to talk about what they see from their satellites, what the aquifers across the United States and around the world look like, and, you know, what they do to monitor crop productions from satellite and through their organization. So we've got a very exciting program for our Board of Directors. I'd encourage everybody to come not only to the NOG meetings, but to also attend the trade show itself. The trade show runs from March 10th through the 13th. NOG has its meetings the days before that.
Well, I just wonder if NASA has the technology to see maybe some of the challenges when it comes to supply chains. Are you watching that as well?
You know, I never thought supply chain would be an issue that I would talk about. And then I'm going to my second year, the second full year of discussing this issue. I think as we continue to have disruptions due to COVID and lack of people being able to fill roles in the industry throughout the supply chain, we're going to continue to see some disruptions. I just want to make sure everybody is comfortable and knows we have plenty of wheat, we have plenty of flour, but it is the disruption further down the supply chain while you may be seeing some empty shelves. I know my sister sent me a picture of her grocery store, and she lives up in Michigan. It had literally three rows in her grocery store, completely empty, not just a wheat product, just empty. And so it is an issue that continues forward, and I think until we get this pandemic under control, it's something that we're going to be dealing with for several more months, if not up to a year.
And can we say there's a bright side to this and the fact that you look up there and bread products are not in the shelves? That's got to be encouraging from the point that people still want the product.
People do still want our product. And I'll tell you the other reason it's encouraging is when you have all these fad diets running around out there, you know, no carbs, no gluten, no this, no that. But when it comes down to it and the supply chain starts to get a little limited, people realize that these fad diets is not where they need to be, that a good balanced diet that's got whole grains in it and wheat products in it, it's really just comforting to know that we've still got that good education level out there of why these important whole grain products are important to a good balanced diet. So I hate to see customers going to the store and they're not being food there, but I think it is also helping us in the long run to realize that food is not imminent, that you're always going to have it there on the shelves. And that's why it's important that we protect growers with things like the Farm Bill and investments in our rural communities so we can make sure that that supply chain continues to run and we always have a safe and affordable food supply on our grocery shelves.
Chandler, it's always good to visit with you. I know you've already mentioned it one time, but if we want to keep up with what's going on with the National Association of Wheat Growers online, where do we go?
You go to wheatworld.org. You can also follow us at the same handle on Twitter and on Instagram.
Again, National Association of Wheat Growers, wheatworld.org is the website. Chandler Gould is CEO of the National Association of Wheat Growers and joins us on today's Agribusiness Report.
Looking to get more out of your hay harvest? At Livingston Machinery, we're proud to offer Heston by Massey Ferguson windrowers, disc mower conditioners, round balers, large and small square balers. These rugged machines are built for high performance and high capacity. They're simple to maintain and consistently deliver the best results. Don't settle for less. Demand Heston hay. Learn more at livingstonmachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
Did you know that the world-famous Café Du Monde has always used cottonseed oil to fry their beignets? Cotton Board invested over $1.5 million into cottonseed research and marketing last year with Cotton Incorporated, including research on the health benefits of cottonseed oil compared to other oils. Our goal is to make cottonseed oil the preferred cooking oil in kitchens across the country, like a Café Du Monde in New Orleans. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton. Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Special guest today, Chandler Gould with the National Association of Wheat Growers.
For 40 years, United Ag has been committed to ensuring the vitality of the ag industry. United Ag helps protect your future and the future of your workforce. Join United Ag and take advantage of up-to-date information on pending legislation and immigration reform, advocacy, health benefits, and leadership opportunities. United Ag is here to ensure your farm makes it to the next generation. Join us at www.unitedag.org. That's unitedag.org.
Now is the time to sell. Demand for used equipment is high, and Purple Wave Auction can help you reach the largest community of online buyers. Whether you have a single item or an entire fleet, Purple Wave Auction offers a hassle-free way to sell your equipment. Visit purplewave.com. Straight, simple, sold.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Follow along with National Association of Wheat Growers online, wheatworld.org.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
When it comes to farming in dry conditions, the formula for success is simple. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why growers looking to improve yield potential while protecting their bottom line rely on dry, tough, dryland cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Bred, tested, and made tough to handle the toughest growing conditions. Stay strong this season. Plant dry, tough, dryland cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing, and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Welcome back. It's the Agribusiness Report.
USDA's National Agroforestry Survey, now being sent to qualifying producers, will provide insights in the practices and look of agroforestry in America. And the survey results will provide benefit to the mission of USDA's National Agroforestry Center.
And our center is kind of organized as a research team and also a technology transfer team. And our work is national in scope.
The center's Matt Smith says this U.S. Forest Service Natural Resources Conservation Service-led collaboration helps landowners and producers determine what agroforestry practices work best on their property.
A lot of our work is done in collaboration with other USDA agencies and also a really extensive partner network of universities. And so really it takes a team approach with regard to agroforestry because they're such integrated systems that we always like to work with internal and external partners.
National Agroforestry Survey responses are due by mail or online by April 5th. I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.